That, Vine's Iran's leader says, the nation has turned sanctions into opportunities for big progress, a clear example of which has already happened in the arms industry. Ibrahim Raisi arrives in Sri Lanka on the first visit by an Iranian president to the South Asian country in 16 years. And Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes and artillery fire kill more civilians in Gaza as the death toll tops 34,200. Hello and welcome, everybody. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the nation has turned sanctions into opportunities for big progress, a clear example of which is the arms industry. Ayatollah Khamenei said, however, that the Iranian nation, with their zeal and long Islamic traditions, did not submit to such coercion. He underlined that Iranians were able to make the enemy's sanction ploys futile and that pressures helped them make progress. The leader reiterated that the sanctions will not destroy the nation's resolve because, he added, Iranians are not looking for help from outside the borders. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei said that the people worldwide are now supporting Palestinians because they've realized that resistance is not terrorism, rather a means to defend land and homes from the occupying regime. Ayatollah Khamenei was addressing workers who had gathered from all over the country in Tehran on the occasion of Labor Week. Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi has arrived in Sri Lanka, marking a significant diplomatic moment between the two nations. Raisi was welcomed by Sri Lankan officials upon arrival at the Matala airport in Hambantota. From there, he was escorted to a nearby town to inaugurate the Omoya Multipurpose Development Project. The project that includes two dams and a 120-megawatt power plant has been built by Iranian contractors. The Iranian president is due in the capital, Colombo, where he will be officially welcomed by his Sri Lankan counterpart, Ranil Wickremesinghe. A highlight of Raisi's visit is the signing of several memorandums of understanding aimed at bolstering bilateral relations. His day-long trip is in response to a special invitation extended by Wickremesinghe and is the first by an Iranian president in 16 years. Well, it's day 201 of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The regime continues its massacre of civilians by pounding the blockaded territory with more airstrikes and artillery fire. In the latest attacks, three members of a family were killed and four wounded after an Israeli strike hit their home in the southern city of Rafah. Elsewhere in the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza, which has been targeted relentlessly over the past few weeks, five people from one family were killed inside a home. Meanwhile, several Palestinians were also injured in shelling of the towns of Beit Lahia, Beit Hanun, and Jabalia. Meanwhile, Palestinian civil defense forces have pulled out 51 more bodies from a mass grave recently discovered in the vicinity of Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. Since the onset of Israeli war in early October, over 34,200 Gazans have been killed, most of them women and children. Israeli forces have shot and killed a Palestinian girl in the occupied West Bank over an alleged stabbing attack against the regime's forces. A 20-year-old identified as Maimuna Abdel Hamid Harashe was shot in the head near the city of Al-Khadi. The occupation forces also prevented the ambulance crew from reaching the victim. The Israeli army claimed that the young woman was trying to carry out a stabbing attack against troops at a military post near the village of Beit Ainun. Tensions have been running high across the West Bank since Israel launched its genocidal war on Gaza last October. Nearly 480 Palestinians have been killed in the regime's attacks over the past 6 months in the occupied territories. Hundreds of Israeli settlers backed by the regime's forces have once again broken into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied Al-Quds on the second day of the Jewish Passover holiday. That's while non-Muslims under decades-long agreement are not allowed to perform their religious rituals at Islam's third holiest site. Our Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kandil, earlier joined us with more on that story.
It's the second day of the Jewish holiday known as Passover that started yesterday and will last for 1 week, a whole 1 week. The Israeli settlers, over 500 settlers, had raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, Al-Haram al-Sharif, and at the same time, the Israeli forces prevented Palestinians from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its complex during the same period when the settlers were allowed to storm into the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. At the same time, Israeli forces were deploying around the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the roads of the old town leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and more Israeli police officers and soldiers were stationing at the gates leading to the Al-Aqsa Mosque as well, preventing Palestinians, specifically Palestinian youths, from entering the old town of Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And those who were allowed to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque for prayers, the Israeli forces held their ID cards and gave them cards with numbers on them in order to make sure that they have their names, they have their information. We expect more raids by the Israeli settlers in the coming hours, and we have also to mention that at the same time when the settlers are storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, Israeli police are escorting those Israeli settlers to inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque to ensure, of course, the safety and to the safety and the security, of course, of those Israeli settlers, while doing their utmost to prevent the Palestinians, the Muslims, from praying inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Anger keeps boiling across the United States over the Israeli genocide of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Protesters gathered near the residence of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to call for the end of Washington's funding for Israel as Congress has approved a new military aid package for the regime.
The energy you feel here tonight is where history is headed. It's toward justice, toward freedom, toward equality. And all of those who are continuing to arm and fund this genocide will be understood as doing just that.
I'm extremely concerned about the starvation tactics. I mean, all of it. What I don't understand is why we keep sending money for a genocide. I don't understand why we keep rubber stamping that. It's very upsetting.
Protesters stayed there for several hours despite crackdown by police. Multiple arrests were also made, with some reports putting the number of the detainees to over 100. The demonstration was organized by Jewish Voice for Peace and was attended by several rabbis. Similar protests were held across the country, with students being at the front. The protests against the Gaza genocide began last week at Columbia University that has now spread on many campuses. There were demonstrations at New York University, Massachusetts, Harvard, MIT, and other universities in Michigan, Minnesota, and Columbia. They denounced companies profiting from the war on Gaza and demanded amnesty for students and faculty members who have been suspended for protesting. The U.S. Senate has approved a $95 billion aid package that includes more than $26 billion in military assistance for Israel. That comes despite growing anger across the country at Washington's support for the regime and its genocide and war on Gaza. We discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen to what our guests had to say. The United States Senate has passed a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan after its earlier approval by the House of Representatives. The bill now goes to the White House to be signed into law by President Joe Biden. It allocates more than $26 billion in military assistance to Israel, defying the international outcry against U.S. Military support for the regime amid the Gaza genocide. It does not include any funds for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine refugees, which is the main source of assistance for Palestinians in Gaza. Rights groups and activists have time and again slammed Washington for its direct role in the Gaza genocide by arming the Israeli regime and vetoing ceasefire resolutions at the UN Security Council. Well, joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have Mr. Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute, Germany, who's with us from Potsdam. Also, we have Director of the Center for Muslim Affairs, Mr. Jahangir Mohammed, who's joining us from Manchester. Let's start off with Mr. Schlanger in Potsdam. Sir, give us your perspective on this recent aid package
Well, it shows that when President Biden says he's talking to Netanyahu about not invading Rafah, about humanitarian support for the Palestinians, that he's lying. He's not telling the truth. This is, as you pointed out, in defiance of the rest of the world, which is insisting on a ceasefire, insisting on an end to Israeli occupation, a two-state solution. And it also is in defiance of a report of the United Nations, the Colonna report. The former French foreign minister issued a report on the UN relief organization, which the Israelis claim was involved in the attacks on October 7th. What she reported is that there's absolutely no evidence of this, that the Israelis presented no evidence. So here you have a narrative of defense of Israel and its democratic rights, when in fact the U.S. is going to continue to provide arms, deadly lethal weapons, 2,000-pound bombs and the like, to the Israeli defense forces to carry out an ethnic cleansing of Palestine.
Mr. Jahangir Muhammad, this aid package, it allocates more than $26 billion in military assistance to Israel, and we're seeing it defying the international outcry against the U.S. military support for the regime amid the Gaza genocide. To give us your perspective on what's taking place and the ramifications of this aid package.
Well, obviously it's a reward for the State of Israel for carrying out genocide against the Palestinian people, and it will encourage them, and it will continue because it's designed to provide military and economic support. So it's shoring up the Israeli state on behalf of the US, which simply shows that this is not simply an Israeli project. This is a US project designed to dispossess the Palestinian people, cleanse them, so Israel and the United States can occupy Gaza for whatever economic or political reasons that they have. And the fact that they have withdrawn UNRWA funding, are not providing humanitarian support, basically shows that they're just speaking with forked tongues, basically, on the one hand pacifying or trying to pacify their local people or hoodwink them, which doesn't seem to be working. On the other hand, funding the genocide and the war and the Israeli military.
Right. Mr. Schlanger, how is this going to sit with the American taxpayer, who's already upset with all the money that's been allocated?
Well, there are two aspects to this. On the one hand, this is more money at a point in which there's austerity against the homeland. The United States is seeing its cities disintegrate, its education system falling apart, infrastructure collapsing, and yet this is another $100 billion. And that's only what they're acknowledging. With the additional funding, there's probably much more than that going to these wars. But is this helping the security of the United States? No, not at all. And Americans are angry about that. But then more importantly is the growing recognition that what the United States is doing is it's now complicit in the genocide being committed by the Israeli state. And this is especially among young people.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Harley Schlanger from the Schiller Institute of Germany joining us from Potsdam. And also thanks to Director of Center for Muslim Affairs, Mr. Jahangir Muhammad, speaking to us from Manchester. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of the News Review. The UK Parliament has passed legislation that allows the government to deport desperate asylum seekers to the East African country of Rwanda. The UK government claims the law is aimed at deterring immigrants arriving on British shores on small boats from France. The Scottish National Party in the British legislature has branded the legislation as tantamount to state-sponsored people trafficking. Saeed Puruza reports from London.
another overcrowded boat making the treacherous, sometimes deadly journey to southern England from French shores. Five, including a seven-year-old girl, didn't make it this time. Tens of thousands of asylum seekers have made these voyages over the last 2 years. The lives of many now hang in the balance as the British Parliament passes legislation that allows the government to deport irregular migrants to the East African country of Rwanda as they await their asylum applications to be processed.
My lords, Rwanda is a safe country that has proven time and again its ability to offer asylum seekers a safe haven and a chance to build a new life.
In recent years, a series of UK politicians have sought to deport asylum seekers here to Rwanda. Last year, the UK top court blocked the planned deportations as unlawful and risky. To circumvent the courts, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak suggested an updated law. Critics say his priority is to improve his flagging poll numbers.
It's an electoral ploy, and that's all it is. It's practically unworkable. It's morally disgraceful. It's simply the end of a desperate Tory government trying to whip up a racist tidal wave that it hopes will save it from the next general election defeat, which it won't.
Some polls conducted prior to the vote found 6 in 10 Britons, including Conservative voters, thought the government should either accept some amendments to the Rwandan policy or scrap it altogether.
I think it's absolutely appalling. I don't see it's going to be a reasonable deterrent. People come here because they're desperate.
I think it's disgraceful. It's setting a terrible precedent, and it's totally the wrong way to treat humans.
The controversial law is expected to come into force within days, and the first deportation flights in weeks. UN rights experts have warned airlines and aviation regulators against participating in the deportations.
Now that the bill has cleared the parliamentary hurdles, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak can declare victory, at least on the legislative piece of the puzzle. But that is only the first step. Experts and critics say even if those Rwanda flights get in the air, the prospects of stopping or deterring boats from arriving on British shores through the English Channel are heavily contested. Saipur is up, London.
That's a wrap for now. Thanks for tuning in. Bye, everybody.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kHz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all Islamic denominations have in common.
All of us should feel we have a responsibility with regard to Gaza, April 10th, 2024. The control that the Zionists have had over global media outlets throughout these years has not allowed for any voice to be broadcast in favor of Palestine or against the Zionists. Today, however, this voice is being broadcast all over the world. They, the Zionists, spend money, they shout, they defend themselves, yet the people of the world are against them. People are against the Zionists. These are important matters. Lessons need to be learned from these things. Something is taking place. Everyone must do their duties, but governments really are not carrying out their duties. Now, I spoke about the European governments during the Eid al-Fitr prayer. Some of them may say some things at times, but not something firmly or strongly. They say something like, "Why are you doing this?" But in practice, there's absolutely no sign of action against Israel's crimes from these governments. On the contrary, they provide assistance to the Zionist regime. The US helps them by providing them with weapons, as well as financial and political assistance. England and some other European countries also help them.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
But what's even more regrettable is that some Islamic countries are also helping the Zionist regime. When? When it is busy killing children, women, and infants. In my opinion, this is unfathomable. But sadly, this is happening. Islamic countries helping the Zionist regime is an act of betrayal. They are betraying the Islamic Ummah, and they are betraying themselves as well. This is because by doing this, they are strengthening the declining Zionist organizations. And there, the Zionist strengthening will be to the detriment of those countries. When the Zionists enter a country, they do not work for the benefit of that country. Once the Zionists gain a foothold in a country, like a mosquito, they suck the blood of that country for their own benefit. Those helping the Zionist regime are helping to bring their own destruction, let alone the Islamic Ummah. They must stop doing this. This was our previous suggestion, and this is definitely our suggestion now, too.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me
migration is everybody's right. All people are free to look for some other places to reach their hopes and ambitions. From long ago, humans have searched for new places where they could live better. Today, you can achieve this aim more easily. People can immigrate to other countries to achieve their goals. Iran is a popular country among immigrants. There are those who may choose this country for their pursuing their education, as well as those who may find it a suitable place to live because of its weather, culture, and civilization.
اسمم فخریه کریم کارادومان هست.
My name is Fakhriye Karim Karaduman, and I was born in Azerbaijan, in one of the villages close to the Iranian border. I spent my elementary, secondary, and high school years there. Then I went to Istanbul and got my bachelor's degree in Persian language and literature from Istanbul University. After that, I came back to Azerbaijan to get my master's degree from Baku State University. Then I got married. My husband is from Turkey. We've been married for 5 years. We live in Şanlıurfa city. My husband is a policeman. In Turkey, there is a great need for professors of Persian language and literature. So I decided to come to Iran to do a PhD. My father likes Iran a lot. Most of his relatives live here. He's also interested in the Persian language. He wanted to study Persian, but he was not admitted to any university. He teaches history now. He wanted me to study Persian. At first, I only wanted to make his wish come true, but then I myself became interested in Persian.
Fakhriye is a hard-working woman, and Persian has already become a part of her life. She leaves no point unanswered with her questions. She has decided to teach Persian language and culture in Turkey after finishing her studies.
When we were kids, my father taught us Persian alphabet so we could read and write in it. We had learned a couple of words too. He taught us some poems by Sadi. Overall, I was familiar with the Persian language.
کنون ای خردمند وصف خرد بدین جایگه گفتن اندر خورد.
Among our courses, I like epic literature more than others. We studied شاهنامه. I like it very much and it's easier for me compared to the other courses such as mystic, classic or lyrical literature. Shahnameh's language, or indeed Ferdowsi's language, is easy and enjoyable. I bought a CD that reads Shahnameh. Every day I listen to it for 5 or 10 minutes. It's really beautiful.
There are many immigrants in this country. Mrs. Orbadov, a Romanian dentist, is one of them. She is a thoughtful woman, and Islam has been one of her main reasons for immigration. Now it's been more than 15 years that she's been living in Iran.
I always felt I was not satisfied with my life. I mean, I wanted to find something more exciting. It's not enough just to study and graduate in a special major, then get married and have children. I knew there to be a bigger picture. I studied a bit about Asian religions like Hinduism and Buddhism. I also read about Christianity, which is the dominant religion among Romanians, including my own family. These studies were interesting, and I was hoping to find an answer to my questions in books. To be honest, our Romanian religious leaders are more of symbolic figures and do not have much to say in matters relating to religions and science. So I tried other ways to answer my questions. When I was a freshman, I made friends with some Muslim students. I borrowed some books from them. These books were not many because only a few books had been translated into Romanian. They had quotes from Quran and I could find answers to my questions. It was the period of big changes in my life. I read so many books and had lots of discussions with my Muslim friends. By the end of my freshman year, I had already become a Muslim. One of the God's biggest mercies for me was that among my friends at the university, there were Shiites, Sunnis, and Wahhabis. I mean, there were a variety of Islamic sects. My Shiite friends seemed the most rational ones. That's why I became Shia. Considering some concepts like religious leaders and Shiism, I wanted to know if there was a society of Muslims, even small, designed this way. So I decided to immigrate to Iran, and my main motivation was to get familiar with the learn about Shiism. However, I thought that Iran was experiencing its post-war period and had lots of problems. I had read a story from Betty Mahmoudi about Iran. I thought that living in Iran is really tough, like there's no gas pipeline for houses, or I would have to make fire to have hot water to wash the dishes. I thought that the streets are all ruined and buildings are just under reconstruction. But I was really surprised when I came to Iran. I saw that people here are living an ordinary life like in other countries.
Mrs. Orbadov mentions a few facts about her country, including the current chauvinism that has marginalized women and their rights. She believes that in Iran, women can work very easily just as men can, and they too can claim their rights.
After I became a Muslim, I began to see women differently. As a young girl, I discovered a new image of women. In this viewpoint, women are highly respected. They are valued for who they actually are. All female qualities such as emotions and sensitivity are looked down on in my country. These were considered as signs of weakness. So my friends and I were trying to get rid of them. Instead, we tried to adopt male behaviors and thinking because they were more appreciated.
She lives with her only daughter and her husband who is studying abroad. She is happy that she has finally found a safe place for her hopes and aspirations.
I was a sophomore studying dentistry. My husband was studying medicine back then. We had known each other before I became a Muslim. He proposed to me after I became a Muslim and we got married. We lived in Romania for 5 years before coming to Iran, and after I got my travel permit, we moved here. Then our daughter was born. She is about 17 years old now. My daughter is too happy about living in Iran. We travel to Romania to visit my family once in a while. My daughter likes both countries. My daughter and I think similarly, and this makes me happy. For example, it could have happened that my daughter did not believe in Islam, but it makes me happy to see that she too believes in it and acts accordingly.
I have lots of friends here in Iran. Iranians are very kind and hospitable. Everywhere I go, I have some friends. Isfahan, Shiraz, Mashhad, Qom, or Kermanshah.
Raja, the Pakistani immigrant, has come to Iran to study art. He's a painting student now. He spends most of his time studying art. Watching other artists' works is his best pastime.
I spend most of my time at the university. I come to the library. I spend time on the campus, which has a nice and beautiful atmosphere. There are only graduate students here, and they are all here to learn. The atmosphere of Tarbiyat Modaris University is nice and pleasant, something I haven't seen elsewhere. I really enjoy reading in Persian. I think Persian has harmony.
It has music. It's pleasant to read in Persian and listen to it.
Fakhriye is interested in Persian music and she's been learning how to play daf, an Iranian instrument, since she came to Iran. She has also made a lot of progress. In addition to her Persian language studies, she wanted to have some experiences in Persian music. Every day, Dr. Orbidov starts her work passionately. She cares a lot about people, the people who are now her fellow countrymen, and have become one of the most important parts of her life now. Other than being a responsible dentist, she loves to spend time with her family. She tries to strike a balance between her professional and family life.
I'm a dentist. I'm very busy during most of my working hours. I have lots of patients. In the neighborhood where I work, women and kids prefer to have a female dentist. So most of my patients are women. Some patients have financial problems and thus can't pay. In these cases, all of my colleagues and I treat them free of charge. These are moral issues, and fortunately, we're all willing to participate. We do it together as a team. Generally, I think it is very important not to spend all my time at work, but to dedicate half my day to my family.
I'm Abdul Sattar Sheikh from Pakistan, Sindh province. I had a strict religious and traditional family. Our province, Sindh, has been home to an ancient civilization. My mom is a housekeeper and my father is a teacher. He teaches English language and sometimes physics. My parents wanted their children to experience an academic atmosphere and go to college. I got my diploma in sciences. My parents wanted me to be an engineer. I was interested in art and I wanted to choose a country with a cultural heritage. India, Pakistan and Iran are Eastern countries with similar cultures. I traveled to Iran once or twice before moving here and I'd seen its academic environment. Iran has a very progressive art, architecture, lifestyle, everything is good. Since I couldn't speak Persian at first, I passed my Persian language and pre-university courses at Imam Khomeini University in Qazvin. First, I finished my Persian language courses and then I finished my pre-university. When you finish your pre-university, you can be admitted to a university. The Persian language course that I took in Imam Khomeini University was really helpful. Then I went to the Faculty of Arts at Tehran University to study for my bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was here with me when I came to enroll at the university. He stayed with me for 15 days and checked out the university. He's very happy that I'm studying here. We went to Qazvin and Mashhad together. He says that he has no worries about me being here. If it were any other country, he might not let me come. He says that it's safe here. I live in the dormitory. It's located on the campus. We are 12 girls in a dorm suite. They're all doing their master's degree. My roommate and I share a room. She's from Afghanistan. There are three of us in my class. One of us is Mr. Sufi from India. The other is Mrs. Farizeh from Kazakhstan. Most of the times we study together. It helps us a lot. We sometimes ask our Iranian friends who are studying literature to help us. As I mentioned, one of my classmates is Mr. Sufi from India. We study together most of the times. He lives with his family here on the campus. His Persian is much better than ours. I think it's because he has been living here for 8 or 9 years. He's a teacher in an Indian school. His Persian is excellent. He knows a lot, and I use his help.
Fakhriye has some other friends from other countries in the university. Sometimes they study together and help each other. Persian language has become their binding thread.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا
الْقُرْآنُ نُورٌ وَبَيَانٌ الْقُرْآنُ هَدْيُ الْإِيمَانِ الْقُرْآنُ مِسْكُ الْخِتَامِ قرآن عليك سلام
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We are so glad to have Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah and Hussein Rahullah with us. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, everyone. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
And Hussein, how is it going?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is ready, energetic. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you are doing great. Let's get started. Today, we will be talking about Ayah 94 and 95. Surah Al-A'raf. On what page?
162.
Page 162. If you have your Quran with you, Ayah 94 and 95 of Surah Al-A'raf. We will be listening to the recitation and inshallah we'll continue our class. Ready everyone?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَّبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون.
Nice recitation, mashallah. So Ayah 94 and Ayah 95. I will read it once, guys, okay? Then, inshallah, one of you will be reciting, then we'll work on tajweed points. Alright?
Yep.
Yes. So,
let's see what Allah Almighty says in Ayah 94 and 95 of Surah Al-A'raf. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wama arsalna fi qaryatin min nabiyyin. إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون. We did not send a prophet to any town without visiting its people with stress and distress so that they might entreat for Allah Almighty's forgiveness. The point is this. Let me ask you a question. Ali Nasir, do you think that we will never face troubles and problems and difficulties and challenges in life?
No.
It is impossible, yes?
Yeah.
So this life is full of challenges. Hassan, you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Hussein, can you name some of the challenges that people, humankind, might face in this life?
They can face many challenges.
The biggest one? What do you think?
In my opinion, the biggest challenge is that someone does zulm on him, what we...
So, if someone is being oppressed...
Oppressed, yes.
Yeah, so...
It's the biggest challenge.
Okay, great. So, this life is full of challenge. As Allah Almighty says, we did not send a prophet to any town without visiting its people with stress and distress. It means people are being... People are being tested. Yeah? They face challenges. They face a lot of troubles. So, what? To strengthen their iman... لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ so that they get back to Allah Almighty. They should understand the reality. Alright?
Yes.
This is the meaning of this. They should understand the reality.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فَأَتَاهُ الْوَحْيُ فَأَشْرَقْ اِقْرَأْ.
Let's recite the Quran.
Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
So, Hussein, can you read the first ayah?
Wama arsalna fi qaryatin? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون
أحسنت ما شاء الله وما Is the mat wajib Ali Nasir?
No.
So it is?
Jais.
Jais. You need to stretch it or no?
It's optional.
Optional.
Yeah.
You're allowed to ignore this.
Yes.
And fi qaryatin tin tanween plus meme.
Yes.
Huh? How do you read it?
Fi qaryatin. It's idgham,
merged them. And min nabiyyin. Min nun sakin plus nun.
Idgham mithlain.
Idgham mithlain also called idgham with gunna.
Yes.
Min nabiyyin. Yin illa. No changes, right?
Yeah, idgha.
Illa akhazna ahlaha. So this mad are. Three mad up to now we have had وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَّا أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا Since the Hamza is in another word.
Yes.
Okay. بِالْبَأْسَاءِ The mad, is that wajib?
Yes, now it's wajib.
This is wajib. ضَرَّاءِ Is that mad wajib?
Yes. Yes.
So we should stretch it for how many counts, Hassan?
Six.
Six counts, five counts, six counts. So we should... بالبأساء والضراء لعلهم يضرعون Make sure you pronounce the تشديد properly. Next ayah, Ali Nasir, can you recite it? ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا
Yes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ثم بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا وقالوا قد مس آباءنا الضراء والسراء فأخذناهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون
يشعرون
عرون
All right, thank you. Let's fix these things. ثم Make sure you stretch the sound, yes?
Yeah.
Two counts.
مشدد
Yeah. ثم The nasal sound.
Yes.
بدلنا مكان السيئة الحسنة حتى عفوا عفوا وقالوا قد حسن The echoing sound on dal, yes?
Yes.
قد
قلقلة
Yeah, قلقلة, ضرور قلقلة قد مس آباءنا The mad is واجب الضراء mad واجب والسراء مد واجب فأخذناهم هم بغتة Ali Nasir did not apply the rule إخفاء of meme yeah?
yeah
فأخذناهم meme ساكن plus ba meme ساكن plus ba you should hide the sound of meme yeah?
yes
أخذناهم بغتة غين heavy sound بغتة وهم لا يشعرون So, that's it brothers and sisters Now time to recite these two ayatain from Surah Al-A'raf I will be reciting, everyone is going to repeat Make sure inshallah you join us in practice Everyone, ready?
Yes
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وما أرسلنا في قرية من نبي إلا أخذنا أهلها بالبأساء والضراء
وما